Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for being with us. We've got a great conversation lying ahead of us today. We had a chance to talk with a congregation here in St. Louis this morning on his time about serving in their community, and that was good to get to talk with St. Trinity this morning and about serving in the city, and we're going to talk more about that today on Faith and Family with Mission Shift Institute. So I hope you can join us for that conversation. How can congregations reach their neighborhood? How can we do ministry right in our own neighborhood? So we're going to talk with our friends from Mission Shift Institute right here in St. Louis in just a little bit. Hope you can join us for that conversation. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsor section there. You can find the CUW logo. Click on that. That'll take you to their page. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, where they're located, all the programs they have to offer, and the locations that they offer are not just in Wisconsin, including in a center right here in St. Louis, right across the road, actually, from the International Center, where we're broadcasting from. So go check it out, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo. Joining me in studio today, we have several people who are involved with Mission Shift Institute. The director of the Mission Shift Institute here in St. Louis is the Reverend Jeff Thormanson. He's the director of Mission Shift Institute and assistant to the director of Vicarage and Internships at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Looking forward to talking about Mission Shift Institute and all that you have to offer. Also joining us in studio this morning, the Reverend Michael Iannelli, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in St. Charles, Missouri. Good morning, Pastor Iannelli.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Lucy Schrader, a member at Messiah Lutheran Church, also involved with Mission Shift Institute. You've had a chance to go through the training. Lucy, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
You are so welcome, Andy.
Looking forward to the conversation and hearing about your experiences all at different levels. Pastor Thormanson, you've been involved with the training and served as a missionary and now serve as the director of Mission Shift Institute and Pastor Iannelli going through the training and some just recently and getting really kind of sinking your teeth into it right now. Lucy, having experienced the training last year and now really getting to experience the heart of it and what it means to be a missionary right here in your own neighborhood.
So absolutely.
I look forward to hearing the conversation from all perspectives. Jeff, paint a picture for us. Looking through the materials for Mission Shift, I saw a phrase that came up and it really, I think, caught my attention. And that is the pluralistic postmodern urban context, the setting that we live in when we're in a city setting or an urban setting, a pluralistic postmodern urban context. What is that?
I think the best way to describe it is actually sort of my experience. When I went to the mission field in Russia in 1995 and was going into a different culture, I had to learn the language and the way people operate and some of the symbols, and just it was a generally different way of life. Mm-hmm. When I came back to the United States in 2003, I just came to realize that what pastors need today in reaching out to people in their communities is really the same missionary skill set that we needed to use when we were overseas. And so I was at the Concordia Seminary for getting a PhD, working on that, an STM during that time. And I just began to look at the challenges that congregations are facing today. It's just not what it was when I was growing up and those types of things. You know, we had generational differences and we had different people groups in a sense starting to move in. But today, due to the change in immigration and different things, 1 out of 8 Americans is foreign born. And the nations in a sense have come to the United States and are living underneath our, you know, in the shadow of our steeples in many ways. I also, as part of my assistant to the director of Vicarage, travel the United States and work with the first generation ethnic immigrants that are studying to become pastors at Concordia Seminary. And I've probably made over 70 of these visits around the United States. And it's just amazing to hear their stories of how they were in refugee camps or how they decided to come to America and they brought their families over here. Most of them were believers when they were overseas. They come here and they gather around people from their own people group because they all speak the same language. And they are approaching our churches all over and desiring, the story was told over and over again. They come to knock on the church's door and they said, "Can we have a Bible study in your church? You know, we have this group, we're worshiping, and we just need a space to space to meet." And they did that. And so I think when we're thinking about postmodern, we're thinking about the multicultural setting that we're in. It has really come and arrived here in almost every city, every village throughout the United States. I grew up in a small town of 2,500 people in Minnesota, and I was just shocked when I noticed that they had Sudanese living in the city that I grew up in. And it was just in Sudanese. There's now a Hispanic service at the congregation, and they gave the Hispanic service the prime 10:30 worship time, and the Anglos are meeting in the morning, the English worship service. And so it's already becoming multicultural in small town America. And it's, and working at the seminary and with the students, this is just a skill set they need. And so Mission Shift is that opportunity to train them for that.
So what you're saying is this pluralistic, this postmodern pluralistic world that we live in is not just in the city settings, but it's all over. It's in small cities. It's even in some rural areas as well. And so how do we serve these communities? How are we best serving these communities? What do we need to be equipped with in order to serve these communities? And that's really what Mission Shift is about, right?
It really is. The beauty of it is we don't have a silver bullet. We don't have the answers to everything, but we have some very powerful questions. And we have 7 units as part of Mission Shift to really help people think through, what is it going to take to reach my neighbors? And the neighbors that are, you know, located within walking distance of the church or within about a half a mile is a good place to start. And so the 7 units begin with learning about the city and how it operates. You know, for example, in St. Louis, why do we have 66 neighborhoods, you know, that are so different? That's unusual for a city, but why is it? If you go and you look up the Del Mar Divide on YouTube, I mean, the BBC came over here to kind of highlight, why does our city have a divide, the street of Del Mar, and such differences on both sides of it. There's some very unique things in the city, but we want, so the first unit is understanding your city and how it works. The second one is cultures and crossing cultural boundaries. That is perhaps the largest obstacle we have today, is that when we're meeting people from different points of view, and that can not only be ethnically, different people groups, it's also generationally today. The digitally native millennials and the baby boomers and then the silent generation are just worlds apart in how they communicate. And as our denomination is trying, and all denominations really are trying to reach out to the millennials, it's a crossing of cultures in significant ways. We also then move into the third unit, which is entrepreneuring the church. And what does it take to actually do and reach out outside of the church walls? We have three parts that we use. It's sort of a holistic model. We begin by using the gospel and sharing that, but we also connect it to a social need. No matter if you're rich or poor, black or white, there's always a social need or something going on. And so how do you connect the gospel to the social need that the people are feeling? But it also has to be in relationship. You have to know the people's names. Mm-hmm. You have to earn, we call it earning the relation or paying the relational rent when you are connecting with people. So when you pay the relational rent, you're getting to know them, helping them with their needs and sharing the gospel. That's sort of a holistic framework that does there. We teach about world religions and how that impacts people's cultural identity. We have something we call the mini MBA, which is really how do you resource, you know, doing this type of work, and how do you finance that and do grant writing if you need it? But we're also really emphasizing, how do you do things for free? You know, there are many assets within our church body and within our congregations, but also in the community. And so how do our churches collaborate with the many ministries that are around them? Mission Shift is unique in that while I am the primary instructor and I have a few that help me, there's actually 30 people from the city who come in and share how their ministries work. And so it's learning from these tremendous examples of what ministry looks like in St. Louis. So it's very geographically located. And I think also Mission Shift in the final unit is really all the students are put this together in such a way that they have an urban group ministry project we're just not here to learn about urban ministry. We're here to actually try something and put it together in a way that helps congregations reach out into their neighborhoods.
You've started to paint a picture for us of the people that that we're serving. 66 neighborhoods in the St. Louis area alone, which means there's diversity sometimes. And you talked about a divide, you know, the Del Mar divide, I believe you called it, that mm-hmm. that divides the city. And Lucy, you are here in the city of St. Louis, and Mike, you're in St. Charles. Let's
correct.
Let's paint a picture of the people that we're talking about here. Who are the people right in our own neighborhoods who need to hear about Jesus, who need to know his mercy and his gospel by way of us? Who are these people in our neighborhoods? We'll start with Lucy, and we'll go to Mike.
Sure. Well, we have a very diverse population in our area. We have a group of Bhutanese people that come to our church every Sunday. They're beautiful people, and they are just very eager to learn about Jesus. Even though they don't speak our language, they have people there that do speak the language and can translate for them. And we also send a pastor into their homes to do Bible studies with them. I would say that the white population in our area has decreased, and there are people of other ethnicities moving in. So it's very diverse, and we're very excited about it.
So how have you learned about the Bhutanese culture since you've been in this neighborhood and interacting with the new Americans, if you will?
Well, they're very eager to learn. They are originally Hindu people, and actually some of them have become baptized at our church. They believe in Jesus Christ now, and they are very sweet, gentle people, very loving. They love to hug every Sunday, and they're just very, very wonderful people. We enjoy having them at church.
And so these are people that are coming to us, as Jeff mentioned. You know, we go out into the rest of the world. Our church sends missionaries. We send missionaries out into the rest of the world to make sure that the good news of Jesus is proclaimed around the world. But the people are coming here to us, right in our own neighborhoods. And so here is this little pocket, this little group that you have an opportunity to tell the good news of Jesus to, right in your own neighborhood. Mike, paint a picture for us. Tell us about the people right in your own backyard that are there as an opportunity for you to show the mercy and love of Jesus to.
Well, when we as a congregation looked into Mission Shift, one of the things that for me as a new pastor, I've been at Our Savior for about 2.5 years, not really knowing the community or the culture that I was entering into. Mission Shift gave me an opportunity to get to know, like Jeff said, you know, who is living in the shadows of our steeple. We are a dominantly white neighborhood and congregation. We are good German Lutherans. And for me, it was an opportunity in doing our demographic study to sort of get to see who's in our area. But even more so than realizing what our neighborhood is made up of, was to help our congregation be able to look beyond ourselves and look at being able to reach out into the community. So we're sort of looking at it from the beginning phase. Mm-hmm. We want to help our congregation be more open to reaching out into the community. The majority of the ethnic group within our area is the Hispanics as well as the African Americans. All the other groups sort of numerically decline rapidly after that. So, but for us as a congregation, I think the hardest thing is to look beyond ourselves. And it's not just us at Our Savior. I think it is a Missouri Synod or a Lutheran type of phenomenon that we have a problem looking beyond. And as an Italian pastor in a Lutheran church, it's a unique perspective as well. But the joy is to see the congregation growing in its understanding of who we are and what we were called to do, and that's to go and share the gospel with those in our community. So again, for us, it's to begin with helping the congregation look beyond itself mm-hmm. and then go out into the community in a way that our congregation would be comfortable so that we can actually begin to take those baby steps so that within time we'll be able to take larger steps and then hopefully leaps. But that's where we're at as a congregation right now.
Well, just to provide some consolation for you, there is one other Italian LCMS minister. He'll be here in a few minutes, the Reverend Craig D'Onofrio, who helps with the Bible study coming up next. So
excellent.
You can meet the other Italian LCMS pastor. Jeff, something you'd like to add?
One of the ways we equip congregations through the students that take Mission Shift is we actually are connected to Mission Insights, which mm-hmm. is a huge demographic program. And so the students learn how to use this instrument, and they can run demographics and a variety of different indicators around their churches. And so it's really been eye-opening in a number of ways. One of the things that Mission Shift opened for me this year was that I have the statistics that says there's 65,000 Hispanics living in the greater metropolitan area here, but the number of Hispanics that are surrounded by in one pocket here in the St. Louis area near Cherokee Street. I mean, there's a heat map the city puts out that we share, and it's just a rich, a high percentage of Hispanics living there. Yet, we really don't have a Hispanic ministry in the three LCMS congregations that are there or what one actually closed. So the opportunity that Mission Shift begins to do is we look and we find out who's living in our neighborhoods of where we can direct ministry is really quite powerful. I'm from Russia, and so anytime I hear Russian or I served in Russia. Anytime I hear Russian, I mean, my ears, I identify it. It's hard for me to understand, but there are 17,000 Russians living here in this city and where they are in different things. And that's sort of illustrative of how hard it is to find or to be aware of the different people groups that are living here. There's 120,000 first generation or foreign born people living in the St. Louis area, according to the U.S. Census. And it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to share the gospel with them in some unique ways.
I think Pastor Iannelli said it well when it is one of the key points that I think we need to consider is looking beyond ourselves. Quite often, we're comfortable in our own neighborhoods. We're comfortable with our own culture or people who look like us and sound like us and have in a similar cultural qualities. Mm-hmm. You know, similar things that. In the way of life. And so stepping outside that is challenging for many of us. How do we make that leap? What is it that motivates us to step outside of our comfort zone?
Well, obviously it's the compassion of the gospel in those. Mm-hmm. I'd like to add something to what you just said about being in our comfort zone. Most congregations today are commuter congregations, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what ethnicity there is. They are usually traveling in to their church, and they've actually lost contact with the neighbors in and around their congregations. An architectural reality of city churches that don't have parking lots is everybody used to walk to church, and that's why there's difficulty in finding parking when they come in, because that's not how the church was originally designed. And so one of the Mission Shift emphasis is how do we reconnect with the people that are living in and around our congregation so that they recognize what the church, you know, why it's there and the relationship that it has. And so finding those social needs and the desire to reach out and connect with them is, I think, what motivates most people, you know, to get involved in missions.
Certainly. And what you described, I've seen happen. The congregation is planted right in the middle of a neighborhood, and neighborhoods change over time. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it, especially in city or urban settings, the congregation becomes disconnected with the actual neighborhood and has become commuter churches mm-hmm. with parking problems.
Yeah, I think Lucy actually has a good story about Messiah and how they're really connecting with the immigrants in and around their congregation now, because I think Messiah is probably one of the most diverse congregations that we have in the area.
It is. And if you're familiar with the South Grand area, you know that there are many, many ethnic restaurants in our area, mm-hmm. and it brings in people from different ethnicities, not only the people that are associated mm-hmm. with that ethnic group, but people that want to see what right. these restaurants are all about and taste the food. And so we have just many, many people coming in to our neighborhood from different ethnic groups. And one of the groups that I mentioned was the Bhutanese group, and we've found out that they're living in substandard housing for about $800 a month for small apartments that huge families have to live in together. So one of the things that I think came out of Mission Shift was a heart for people that are immigrants and refugees. So it was brought to our Messiah leadership team that we could buy up rental properties that were not in very good shape in the neighborhood just around us, fix them up, and then rent them out to the immigrants and refugees in the area. And so we have approved that. We are doing a multi-million dollar project in the neighborhood, buying up many, many properties to fix up and rent out to our immigrants and refugees. And it's a huge leap of faith for us because we are a big church building, but a small congregation. And to promise to buy these properties and run them is just a huge project for us. And I just said when I heard about this project, wow, this is a Mission Shift type project. This is the ultimate Mission Shift project, and we're going to do it.
And what opportunities do you think will come out of this as you work on this project to provide housing that's appropriate and not substandard, as you mentioned? What kinds of opportunities do you think will come out of this?
Well, you know, I'm not sure of all the opportunities, but the one that is closest to my heart is that we will show people in the neighborhood that we are invested in this neighborhood and that we care for the people in the neighborhood. And hopefully that will maybe bring some more people into our church. But if not, you know, it will give us a good presence in the community.
Sure. It says that we're here. We care about this neighborhood.
Exactly.
We're not going outside the neighborhood. We're not leaving.
It's really the relationships that develop out of the doing things in the community. And people recognize that. They recognize kindness and generosity. And when they see people acting differently and living in a way that is showing Christ's love for others, and they might not know what it's called, but living differently and not the way that this world does, the world is attracted to that. And they want to know more about it. And it's a welcoming place, a radical hospitality that's just unusual. And as I travel around again, that's where I'm seeing growth.
And it sounds like something like this, a big endeavor like this, requires partnerships. It takes partnerships, working with others to take such a big leap, whether it's members of the congregation or other agencies, other organizations in the community. How important are partnerships in what you're doing?
Well, the partnership that we have with the people that are helping to finance this, of course,
sure,
is huge, and we're so grateful for that. And then many people in the congregation are going to be involved in this and give of their time and maybe even their money to help with this project.
For a newcomer to the area, Mission Shift was a way for me to get to know all of the nonprofits that are out in the St. Louis area, as well as St. Charles. Part of the class, there's projects that we had to do, and it really got us out of the classroom and into visiting some of these 501c3 corporations that were able to get to know how they work, how they were formed, why they were formed, what they're doing, and how we can partner with them. I think, as Jeff mentioned earlier, there's about 30-some groups that come in and share with us their ministries. And that is very opening, eye-opening for me and, you know, the group that I was with, because then we get to see what others are doing, what things work, what aren't working, as well as then realize that, you know, if they're working with this group of people, that we can assist them in their ministry versus trying to start our own ministry. Or if we're going to start a ministry, that we would branch off or connect with them so that we're not really starting to, you know, invent the wheel. It's already there and we're just keeping it rolling. So for me, I think part of the Mission Shift program and as a congregational pastor, it was very insightful for our congregational members to hear about this program, for me to participate in it. And I would really highly recommend it to any congregation that has the ability or the desire to do mission work, is to attend a class of Mission Shift. It's not very expensive, but very educational, and ultimately it is congregational. It's life-changing for the people who go as well as for the congregation.
And we're going to talk more about the program and the classes when we come back from our break, how listeners can get involved in the program and benefit from it, and in turn, how your community could benefit from it. So stick around. We're talking with our friends from Mission Shift Institute here in St. Louis, and we've got more Faith and Family coming up right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Did you know mothers can teach their unborn babies nursery rhymes in the womb? Researchers from the University of Florida published a study in infant behavior and development. It told how they had mothers in their 28th week of pregnancy recite a nursery rhyme to their babies twice a day. Researchers already knew the hearts of preborn children slow when they hear something familiar. So later, researchers had strangers read the same nursery rhyme to the babies. Even though the voice wasn't recognizable, the nursery rhyme was, and their hearts slowed down when they heard it. Nothing happened when a different rhyme was read to them. No surprise here. My wife sang a song to each of our four sons. After they were born, the same song worked to calm them when crying.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
You used to change my diapers.
Take care of me 24 hours a day.
Send me to school.
Mom.
Dad, I need you.
There's all these things I'm feeling that I've never felt before.
I need to know about having a boyfriend.
I need you to set limits.
I need you to tell me where you stand.
Help me make the right choices.
Mom, Dad, talk with me. You always say I can talk to you about anything.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's jennyw@kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Needs assessments for older adults, referrals to community resources, and assistance with day-to-day financial tasks. That's Lutheran Senior Services Outreach Services. Through our Good Neighbor Program, Volunteer Money Management, and Outreach Social Services, we stand ready to assess your needs and find solutions. Thanks in part to the United Way of Greater St. Louis. Lutheran Senior Services Outreach Services. Learn more at lssliving.org.
Do you have a reason to reach out to us at Worldwide KFUO? Is there a piece of communication you'd like for us to receive? It's not hard to reach us. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. If you missed it, the street address is found at the bottom of our homepage online, kfuoam.org. Every day we bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and song. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today, we are talking with our friends from Mission Shift Institute, the Reverend Dr. Jeff Thormanson from Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, and Reverend Michael Iannelli, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in St. Charles, and Lucy Schrader, a member of Messiah Lutheran Church here in St. Louis as well, talking about their experiences with Mission Shift and what it means for them to be missionaries right here in their own neighborhoods in the city. And before we went to break, we were talking about some of the experiences you've had and partnerships and things of that nature. And during the break, Jeff, you had mentioned that collaboration is really key to the success of the any endeavors that we take. What type of collaboration have you all seen? Obviously, you all know each other and benefit from the conversations that you have. What are some of the collaborations that you think have been key in the work that you're doing? I know that you're all at different stages in your involvement. What is what are some examples of collaboration that have been key? Anybody want to? We'll start with Lucy.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we learned in Mission Shift, and I think is the main thing that you learn in Mission Shift, it's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. And so we develop relationships with other groups to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to many, many people, different nations, different ethnicities. And so we're collaborating right now, of course, with this housing development with Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and they are helping us out quite a bit. And so that's a big collaboration for us right now. We also collaborate with Christian Friends of New Americans, which is just right down the street from us. Mm-hmm. They are working with immigrants and refugees, and we work with them also. So it's a good collaboration. And soon, I believe we'll be working with the International Institute, which is moving into our neighborhood just three blocks down. So great opportunities mm-hmm. for us to work with other people.
And having that perspective about collaboration as opportunity, you know, that's what's key. You know, you can have all kinds of resources in your neighborhood, but if you're not interested in collaborating, then those opportunities are much smaller.
And being aware of what's happening around you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the neighbor church is doing a soup bank or a food bank or something, you don't need to start one yourself. You can actually figure out what else the community needs. I noticed when we started the program, you mentioned that Pastor Lewis was here from St. Trinity. Mm-hmm. They were also in Mission Shift. And I think they're also an excellent example of collaboration, because the project that came out of that was, how are we going to help our food bank make a more effective ministry for our neighbors? And what they did was, they have people that come to the food bank, you know, twice a month. And after reading When Helping Hurts and going through Mission Shift, they decided that we need to deal with the dysfunction of why people actually need food. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're going to feed them forever. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of, you know, one of those questions.
Sure.
And so what they came up with in their project was, well, we'll continue to feed everybody once a month, but if you want to come twice a month, they're in the process of creating life coaches, and they're going to interview them and find out why do you need food? Are you unemployed? Are you having trouble managing your money? Whatever. They've got a huge school there, which is an asset they discovered. And so they're going to create classes, some to help people get resumes, some to figure out how to do money management and a variety of things. Mm-hmm. Now, they're a small congregation. If they don't collaborate with other people who can teach these things, that would not be possible for them. And that's one of the skill sets that Mission Shift teaches. It's called asset mapping. You take an inventory of what assets you have within your congregation, as well as what assets are in the community. We bring in someone from the 211 system from United Way, and they share. You go to our website and just put in your zip code, and you'll find every social service agency in your zip code surrounding you. And most people are unaware they are there. And yet those are all things that the church can collaborate with in doing ministry and reaching out to their community. Some of the best examples of the 501c3s that come in and are doing ministry are doing it on government funds. There is a tuck-pointing ministry up at Restore St. Louis called Harambe. And they are doing phenomenal work among 12 to 17-year-olds in doing tuck pointing for the poor, for the residents that need it in the north side. There's the bridge downtown that is going to serve its millionth meal to the homeless. And all of those, that food is done through grants and donations from other places. And and you learn about how do you collaborate mm-hmm. In these unique ways of reaching out to your community in ways that an individual church cannot.
So collaboration and asset mapping are things that are learned in Mission Shift. What are some of the other things that are learned or that are studied through this program?
One of the most powerful things is, I think, also the logic model. Usually when a church wants to do something, it says, how much money do we got and what can we do with it? And how many volunteers can we get? And they're sort of kind of looking at activities. But the Lutheran Foundation comes in and shares with us the logic model, which really begins with what long-term goals do you have for the people that you're trying to reach? You figure out your target, your demographic first. But that's what St. Trinity did. They wanted to work on the food bank. And so the long-term goal they had was, well, we want people to be able to have jobs, to be able to care for their families in the way that God intended for them and their vocations. And so how do we reach that goal? And so it isn't just giving them food because they're hungry. It's looking at why can't they get there. Mm-hmm. And so you look at long-term goals and short-term goals that you have for reaching people. And then what activities does it take to get there and outputs? And eventually you get back to what it does it cost and the inputs. And if you've done your asset mapping and you've looked at what's in your community and around, it's amazing. God puts everything here. I learned this in Siberia. Siberia is much poorer than anything that we have in St. Louis. But I had to operate knowing that God had all the resources necessary for the mission in each of these villages. And if you have, when you just go with that presupposition, which is one of our gospel presuppositions that God provides for his mission, and you look for it and you pray for it, you find ways that God is actually working and can provide for the needs of the people. And it's through collaboration. It's amazing that God didn't put all the resources inside the LCMS. I don't understand that always, but that's a little bit of humor. But nevertheless, all the resources are here in St. Louis, and it's only sin that divides us.
And this is, we're talking about St. Louis today, but this is the ideas and the concepts that are being shared certainly can be used anywhere. You've talked about Siberia as well.
Oh, absolutely. A third to half of the class are seminary students. And what they learn in Mission Shift is intended to be transferable. So wherever they get called in the United States, they will be able to take what they have learned and apply it to the cities and to their congregations where they go. And the other half is laity from the city of St. Louis, or from the greater metropolitan area, I should say, from St. Charles and the larger area, because this is about really figuring out how do you do ministry in real time. It's not an artificial thing. It's not abstract. We want the gospel to go forward in reaching people's needs and relationships in a way that transforms churches and transforms neighborhoods, and those that are farthest from Christ are able to hear the gospel and come into the congregations.
And as it changes communities, it changes families, as you were talking about with the food pantry situation, that not only are families being fed, but being connected with resources to help them get on stable ground so that they can have the means to feed themselves and in turn be productive and serve the community in which they live.
Oh, yeah, it's making a huge difference in families. I think I also want to point out, if I could take the conversation a little bit towards the nth outreach, where I learned about Mission Shift was at a conference on the Quiet Revival in Boston. And I was there to learn about how immigration had really impacted the church in the area. In the Boston area, about 1965, they kind of felt like the church was declining in a variety of ways. And there was something there called a place called the Emmanuel Gospel Center. And they did ministry for 20 years, to make a long story short. And then on their 20th anniversary, they decided to do a telephone directory. And they wanted to put all the churches listed in the Boston-Cambridge area. And when they did it, they discovered that miraculously, or God intended, whichever, the numbers of churches in the Boston area doubled. And nobody saw it until they actually started counting. And it was because it was a magnet place for immigrants. There were these storefront churches, and they weren't speaking in English. They were working in poverty areas. And they started to study it larger. And then they studied the two-county area, and they discovered about 200 more churches that had, because of the relational networks. The Nepalese were reaching out to the Nepalese in the county, and the Brazilians were reaching out to the Brazilians in the county. But they continued to study it. They found 600 churches worldwide, because due to the internet and the ways we have instantaneous worldwide communication, like this radio program now, the gospel was able to travel. And so they would, the Nepalese would tell the people back in Nepal and different things, and they would plant churches. I see this in EIIT all the time. The 13, you know, different cultures we're working with, we teach them how to be pastors. They go back and visit mom and dad, and guess what? They're church planting when they go. And so the opportunity of reaching out through the immigrants that are living here with the gospel is just phenomenal. The Lord is doing an amazing thing. And Mission Shift is an attempt to open people's eyes mm-hmm. to the worldwide opportunities that exist in our own backyard.
I'd like to hear more about the classes. Now, Mike, you are in the classes, correct?
Graduated actually in May, yeah.
Well, tell us about some of the classes, some that stood out for you that you found to be helpful.
Well, as Jeff mentioned earlier, and Jeff is a big picture person, so he's able to see not only Mission Shift in the eyes of the St. Louis area, but around the world, as he mentioned, in Boston and overseas. But bringing it back home, I guess, for us, one of the things that the class did was we eventually get put into a cohort that then is divided up into smaller groups. Our group, we had five people, and eventually we had Send Me St. Louis come in, and it was Hannah Shanks that helped guide us in class with the asset mapping that Jeff was talking about. We as a group did our asset mapping, and we came up with our preschool as being one of the major assets of our congregational ministry. We thought it was a great idea to actually have Hannah come out along with support from Lutheran Foundation and Melinda McElhaney. They did a program within our congregation, so we gave them some Bible study time, and then after the church services, they did the asset mapping with our congregation. Our congregation actually looked at our commercial kitchen, which was actually built to make lunch for the preschool, as one of our major assets. So it was pretty unique in seeing that what we came up in class was a little different than what the congregation saw. So it gave us a perspective of now we got to work with the congregation as well and help them see the bigger picture of what that kitchen is actually all about. But we also have ministry fair on an annual basis, but we were able to contact most of the 30 people that came into Mission Shift and have them have a table and share their ministries with our congregation. So we were able to do a lot of the things in our congregation that we also did through Mission Shift. So as we had a group of people taking the class, mm-hmm. we had Bible studies, we opened devotions at our leadership team meetings. We had all of these groups come into the congregation as well. So the class itself was not just important for us individually, but for us as a congregation as a whole.
So it sounds like asset mapping was one of the things that really seemed key for you.
Yeah, it was one of the beginning approaches to mm-hmm. now where do we go from here as a congregation? And I think it helped the congregation, again, begin to look outside of themselves and to see what we can do, what is also not very threatening. It's all great about doing outreach and mission work as long as I don't have to do it. That's the pastor's job or the board of evangelism. So this is a great way for the congregation to begin to soften itself and to look outside of itself.
Lucy, having gone through the classes, what are some of the classes that have stood out for you or that were memorable or that you carry with you today?
Well, of course, I loved hearing from all the nonprofit groups what they're doing in the city of St. Louis. And it gives you a lot of ideas about not only what you can do in your congregation, but how you can go and help those groups, too, how your congregation can go and be a part of that. But I wonder if you would mind if I told you of an experience that
sure.
I had through the Mission Shift class. One of the things that we were supposed to do was write a paper about experiencing St. Louis. So some of the things you could pick were go to apply for food stamps or something like that. So the one that I picked was a ride along with a police officer. And I live in the 3rd District, and the 3rd District is a pretty stable district. And I didn't want to just ride around and see the neighborhood. I wanted to experience something different. So I said, I'm going to apply to go to the 7th District, which is north of Del Mar. So I did that, and I was accepted, and I went there the day I was supposed to go for the ride along and met the woman police officer that I would be riding with and got in her car, and she showed me all her weapons and all the tools of her trade, and then we took off, and not long after that, she got a call that there was a police chase, and so she said, would you mind if we went on this chase? And I said, oh, no, I wouldn't mind at all. I thought that'd be kind of fun. Not realizing that we'd be going 80 miles an hour through city streets, through stop signs, through stop lights, with people on the side streets, not knowing if they were going to come out and hit the car. It was very exciting. I held on for dear life and kind of glanced over to see how fast we were going. And it finally ended that it was a stolen BMW, and he ran head on into another police officer. So not us, thank goodness. And then, after we filled some paperwork out, we went on a tour of the 7th District, and she pointed out various parts of the district. This is where the prostitutes hang out. This is where people line up to get their free phones. This is where the drug dealers are. These are the apartment buildings with people from different ethnicities that don't get along together. It was a very eye-opening opportunity for me, and I think I wrote a pretty exciting paper.
Of course you did.
So, you know, it shows you that where you live is not the only part of St. Louis. There are other cultures present in our city.
I think if I had to go by what the class talks about, some of the more favorable classes are the one on postmodernism. Also, we bring in the mayor's office or the aldermen. They come in and explain how city government actually interacts with the different congregations. We brought in Justine Peterson this year to talk about economic empowerment, micro-lending, and the way congregations can be involved in that. We bring in First Light that really talks about what it takes to reach out to people with same-sex attraction and what it means to make your congregations a safe place for people who are experiencing addictions like drug and alcohol. We bring in people to talk about human trafficking and sex trafficking that is really currently going on here in the St. Louis area. It changes a little bit every year. We've had policemen come in and talk about gang activity in the area and how that works. And so most of the spring quarter is really dealing with or having people come in that share the systemic problems and challenges of the city in ways that congregations can become aware of it, but also begin to know more about, you know, how they become involved in it as part of their ministry.
And so having learned these things, seeing the students go through the Mission Shift program here in St. Louis, what are some of the things that you've seen, some of the positive results that have come about from those congregations like Lucy's who have been involved in Mission Shift? What are some of the things, I guess, the fruits of this training?
It has actually had fruit that was unexpected. I also work with the church planters that are at the seminary, and they took, for example, our community engagement class on how do you bring or connect a community around an issue and connect. They applied that to church planting in ways that I've never seen. And as far as doing outreach, and they're actually planning on implementing that here in the city, hopefully in about a year or two. And so that was an unexpected fruit. The cross-pollination of ideas of what is possible here in St. Louis has just been fascinating. One of the common things that people say after a speaker is, well, I didn't know that was happening here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You know, I was unaware that we had that many Bosnians, for example, 60,000 Bosnians in the area. And so it's opening people's eyes to what is possible. I travel a lot. Like I said, I probably am the big picture guy. But I was just at a church that tithes 10% to give back to its community, not necessarily in mission, but gives back to its community. And out of that, they have a His Hands Auto Care. They put up a garage in the back that's like a 6 or 7 bay garage. They hire a mechanic and an office manager. And basically, if you are 200 times the level of poverty or below, you can have your car repaired for parts only. They will pay the labor for that. And if you are a customer and you pay, one customer usually pays for two clients that are coming in. So they're reaching their neighborhood with a, you know, a garage that's operating in the backyard. I'm going to see a strip store that was bought down in Albuquerque, where the church owns the corner one, and then they're running the rest of it as a ministry, and the entire profits from that is going into missions. I've seen coffee houses that are operating, church planting through secondhand stores that are doing that. The ability to reach out in today's culture and context, especially with the digital possibilities of connecting with people, is just phenomenal. God has put so much at our doorstep, and Mission Shift attempts to open up that creative imagination to what is possible in reaching into our communities and connecting them with Christ.
Mike, what first got you connected to Mission Shift? How did you, who got you in the door to take a class and start learning these things?
Well, I think the information that Jeff passed on to me was very interesting, and really it was really what the class is made up of, and the hopes that we were really looking at achieving at the end of the class, and it actually was able to do that. One of the first classes that we had prepared us for a bus tour of the city of St. Louis, which it's not just a regular bus tour. It was really eye-opening because it gave us a perspective on why the city is laid out the way it is, how it grew into the neighborhoods that it now has, and how some neighborhoods began in one ethnic way and now are another, and how some communities started, because of a mass movement of people. Mm-hmm. And you get a different perspective of the city itself, and then getting to know all the ministries that are out there reaching these different parts of the city. I think for me, looking at what some of the goals of what Mission Shift, some of the information they give you, it was, by the end of the program, it was actually, we received, I think, more than we anticipated. And it gave us a great opportunity not only to learn about ministry, but to share it with our congregation. And all the information that's online or at the seminary or any of the pamphlets or brochures are just exciting enough to sort of get you motivated. But the class is actually so much better than the information that they have. And it's hard to explain that. But once you go through it, you begin to see it with a different perspective.
Jeff, I'd like to give you a minute to share some of the details about the upcoming classes. We've got about a minute left. If you'd like to share those details, how folks can find out more about the upcoming classes with Mission Shift.
That'd be great. We do have a website. It's www.missionshiftstl.org. If you just do missionshift.com, you get the one in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So if it's a blue-black background, it's ours. missionshift@csl.edu is our email address. The classes are starting September 8th or September 11th. We meet at two different locations. One is at Messiah on South Grand, and the other one is at Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist on the north side. It is open not only to congregations, but also to individuals or mission groups. As I said, about a third of the class is seminary students, up to half, and then the rest of them are laity. It's open not only to Lutherans, but it's open to any Christians in the city. Because in order to heal a city, you really need everybody. And so it's taught from a Lutheran perspective. But nevertheless, we are more than welcome to have people from a variety of denominations participate. And it really actually makes the conversations much more lively. It runs from, it is a sacrifice in the sense it's from 6:30 to 9 o'clock every night. And it's every Monday night. And so there is a lot of time involved, but nevertheless, it's like a mini seminar. Think of it as 30 mini seminars that you can get. There is a cost of $500, but there are also scholarships available from the district and different things. If you want more information, just contact us at Mission Shift.
Mission Shift.
STL.org.
STL.org. Our guest in studio today, Lucy Schrader. She's a member at Messiah Lutheran Church and involved with Mission Shift here in St. Louis. Lucy, thanks so much for being our guest here on Faith and Family today.
Thank you very much.
The Reverend Michael Iannelli, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in St. Charles and involved with Mission Shift. Pastor Mike, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
And the Reverend Dr. Jeff Thormanson from Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. And thanks for being our guest here on Worldwide KFUO.
Thanks for the promotion. Not doctor yet.
Oh, not doctor yet. Sorry. Almost doctor. More Faith and Family, more Worldwide KFUO coming up next, including Thy Strong Word.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.